Thank you very much, Bridges, for your invitation here. It's not good for my nerves, but it's good for my recovery. So, so yeah, I'm Sigrid. I am an addict. I live in Belgium. I see that I logged in with a free thinking IPAN account, but my name is actually Sigrid, and I'm living in Belgium. And I really like these meetings, the Tasnua meetings, and I wished I could be more around in these rooms, but I'm pretty busy lately, so I hope in the future I will be more in these meetings. Yeah, I am an addict amongst a lot of other problems. That's why I am in different, in many different fellowships, but I prefer the secular ones and, of course, our own IPAN meetings. I am in recovery now for almost a year. In 2 weeks, I will be a year sober. And that's the longest time I ever reached in my life to being sober since I drank my first alcohol. I don't like to talk a lot about my childhood because it's still confusing for me. I do have not many memories about my childhood, and some say that it's maybe because I don't want to remember some things, but I'm not sure if that's the right reason. A few things that happened in my childhood explains to me a little bit the insanity that I got into. And that was important for me to understand that, because it was a little bit a start for me to forgive myself, that not everything that happened in my life was my choice or was my decision. The first 3 years of my life, I lived with my grandparents, and my grandmother was a really loving, warm person. And she raised me the first 3 years. And at the age of three, I had to move to my parents' place. And that was completely the opposite. My mother was at that time a mentally ill person. She was emotional, not available. And it was really difficult. In primary school, I have a few memories from primary school. Of course, the moment that I had to switch from my grandparents to my parents' place, I don't remember that because I was only 3 years old. There has been told to me that it probably had a big impact on me, and because at that age you're not capable of reacting rational, because your rational brain is not developed yet, you react really only emotional out of the limbic system. So maybe when I got triggered later in my life, that was maybe the reason why I reacted on rejection, especially really, really emotional. But anyhow, the years that I spent at my parents' house, what I remember about it is especially the time that I was at school and the friends I had at school. I don't have many memories being at home. I know my father was actually protecting me against my mother's behavior. Sometimes she could be aggressive. And from the moment my father came home from work, my mother calmed down, and then I felt more safe. But then at the age of 13, my father took the decision to start traveling for his work, and he stayed away for years. We didn't have many contact with him. Or I didn't have many contact with him. I don't know how my brother or mother contacted him. I know a little about all these times. And what I do remember, of course, is the day that my father left. And I also remember that day after that, I started smoking. And shortly after that, I started drinking. And instead of being busy with my own development, with forming my own identity, the only thing that I did that I can remember was searching for that one person that was going to give me that one thing to survive this world. I don't even know what the thing was. I know that I missed something, and that I started searching for it, and that I always had to have a best girlfriend or when I started getting interest in boys, that I always had to be in a relationship. And from the moment I broke up with someone, my whole world collapsed and I started binge drinking, and I even did suicidal attempts when I was younger. And I know everybody has heartbreak feelings, but the way that I acted on it was not really healthy. I started destroying myself from the moment I got rejected, or from the moment someone left me. It was, I don't have many good memories about that period, but everything changed the day that I met my husband. Since that day, I seemed to calm down and I seemed to feel safe. I started functioning. I went to university. I finished my studies. I got married. I got 4 children. I got a nice job. I got everything that one can wish. The only thing that maybe was a little bit less pleasant is that my husband was not really faithful to me. He was seeing other women, and I was aware of that, but it seemed not to bother me too much. I just ignored the fact, I don't know, but I was okay with it. Until one day I found a message on his phone, and I realized, and it was really clear, that he was emotionally attached to this woman more than he was to me. And that day, my world, everything collapsed and everything turned black. You know, it was so sudden. It was like, and I still remember that day. And from that day on, I can only say that I was surviving. I was not living anymore. And this pain kept going with me. I couldn't deal with the pain. I was sad every day. I was starting to develop all kinds of coping mechanisms. I was starving myself at first, working really hard, even working out a lot. I was really exhausted after a few years, of course. And I remember from the moment that I didn't have any responsibility, I started drinking. And once I started drinking, I didn't stop. I drank myself to a blackout. My husband used to call the ambulance. I got to the hospital, and next day I woke up. I stood up and I got back home and started all over again. And that was the last years of my marriage. So that was a horror, you know. And after 4 or 5 years, I got the courage to get out of the house. My husband used to give me alcohol, and that's the part that I'm struggling with to forgive him, you know. I had no control anymore, and he used to give it to me because maybe he wanted to get rid of me, I don't know. But that's the part I'm really struggling with, and I still feel anger. Yeah, I still feel resentment there. But shortly after I left the house, I also left the children with him because I knew I was not capable of taking care of them. And it didn't take long before I ended up in a hospital again. Of course, being alone, I couldn't deal with that. And there was another suicidal attempt, I got through it. And they kept me in the hospital. I was not even allowed to leave the hospital, and I stayed there a few months. But I was resisting any therapy. I didn't want any therapy. I didn't want to go in recovery. I was not interested, and I just was sitting there the time I had to sit there. So every time I got her, I could go home, I just start drinking again. And then I met a guy in there. He was also an addict, the same similar problems that I had. And of course, that feels so safe. And that, and I was really in love with that guy, you know. And you come out of a marriage where there was no love involved, and then someone suddenly gives you this love, and yeah, it felt like a fairy tale. And that's I understand now that was really dangerous for me, and that was the thing that kept me from my recovery. And one day I probably realized that, and that's when I decided to go to a rehab in far away from my country, so I could get away from him and from all the other problems I created, the chaos that I created, and just to give me some time to work on myself. And that was the first time I really started to look at myself and look at reality, actually. It was terrible. It was really terrible. It was really painful. But I was also introduced to the 12-step program at that place. And at first I was really skeptical. I thought it was a bunch of crap and I didn't want to listen to it. I was going to the meetings, but not listening. Finally, I just started reading about the program and I started reading the literature about recovery, about codependency, about all kinds of stuff. And I realized that this was the way that was going to help me. And I came home too soon. You know, I was not long enough in rehab and the chaos was too big to deal with. And I had a few difficult moments, and that was in 2020. That was together with the lockdown, and I had my relapses. But almost a year ago, something changed, I guess. Was after my first relapse, after my last relapse, I'm sorry. And the first 3 days are always terrible. You know, you come out of relapse, you feel ashamed, you're craving, you're physically exhausted, your place is a chaos, it's terrible. And the third day was always the worst day for me. And this time I really said to myself, I want to get through this day. And I managed to get through it. And next morning I woke up and I thought, if life is like this, if I have days like this, I don't want to live anymore. These cravings are so terrible. These days are so painful. I don't want ever feel that again. And yeah, that gave me not a lot of choices, you know. That was the only choice that I had, not to have days like that anymore, was not drink anymore. And it worked. And I also thought, like, if you stay sober, I'm sure that every day, at least one thing good is going to happen to you if you stay sober. And I start writing. I've always been a writer, and I start writing my diary, and I was focusing on different things now, the good things that happened. And of course, every day I found something good and more than one thing. Amongst some difficult things, emotional things, I had difficult days, but I never had a craving like that anymore. Not once. I had some cravings, but they were not that terrible. They passed after a few minutes. And some call that a spiritual awakening. I don't know. It's not that God came to me. I didn't see a white light. I didn't feel like a higher power was pulling me out of my addiction. And that's not what I experienced. I think I just, what happened was an entire psychic change that happened. But I believe that I created that myself just by changing my thoughts, by focusing on other stuff than my misery and the resentments and my obsessive thinking. I just stopped it myself. And, from that day on, the good things came to me, you know. Also, difficult things. I was still dealing with my divorce, but I could go to court and be confronted with my ex-husband, and I stayed calm. And it was all so different. I experienced everything so different. And it was even easy to stay away from the substances. That was not difficult. And what I struggled the most with was staying away from my ex-boyfriend, because until this day, I still have feelings for that man, but it needs to flow out. It's not going to stop suddenly. I know that because it was too heavy, you know. It was, I've never loved someone like that. I've never felt like that before. So it needs to get away from me slowly. And I don't beat myself up for it, that I'm still thinking about him. It is there. The thoughts are there. They're not that painful anymore. But I feel sad about it, that I had to leave him, especially because I had to leave him in addiction, in active addiction. And I know he's suffering, you know. I know how he's feeling, and that's what bothers me. But anyhow, it's not overwhelming my days anymore. Together with changing my whole thoughts and behavior, I also created an environment around me that was nice for recovery and good for recovery. And that's just keeping contact with the right people. Like they say in the program, stick to the winners. I went to meetings. I got to know people online, but I also went to face-to-face meetings. I only have traditional meetings around here because we don't have secular meetings, but that's okay. I just take out of these meetings that's helpful for me, and I get to know people in recovery, and that's really nice. So because of my addiction, I actually lost everything. I just gave up on my children, and I left my house, and of course my marriage was finished. So I ended up with nothing, and in a year of time I achieved just to get myself a place, a big place where my four children can, they have a bedroom, all of them in that place, so it's a good place, and I can start working again. So in 1 year of time, the practical things are okay. Of course, the emotional part is going to take much longer than that. But it's getting better every day. It's getting better every day. I feel calm and I feel content. I'm grateful to be a mother. The relationship with my children is good. It's really good, maybe even better than before. We are talking a lot about my problems, and they can talk about their problems all the time. I see some behavior I have at that age, and that's sometimes scary, but I'm so grateful that I can talk about it with my children, because I didn't have that opportunity when I was a teenager. I couldn't turn to my parents with that kind of problems. So I hope I can be there for them in a way they need it to develop a good personality or a stable personality, you know. So I'm really grateful, and that's it. And that's me after 1 year in sobriety, and it's a totally different person than a year ago. If maybe some of you saw me coming to the meetings, and I was a really shy person, not talking too much. I'm still like to listen more than talk, but I do share. And sometimes it's a little bit forced, but I do share when I have my problems. I talk about it, and that's really helpful. So. And I'm also still reading about the program, about this 12-step program. And you have so much literature about it. And I'm learning. I'm learning a lot. I'm only following a little therapy to deal with my childhood. But I do it on my time. And when I'm feeling good, and I don't feel to like going to this therapist because she's maybe gonna bring up some bad feelings, I just call her and I say, not today. I have a good day. I'm feeling good today, and I don't want to go back to my childhood today. So let me feel good. And the meetings are really, really helpful for me. Also, this Tasnua meetings. I had days that I was really desperate, and I turned my computer on and logged in a Tasnua meeting, and that helped me through several days. So I want to thank all of you for that, because many of you were there at that moment. So thank you very much for listening, and I wish you all the best.